All right, so, Andrea.
Ryan.
This is for people that don't know. You're going to hear lots of distractions during this podcast because I'm recording this with Andrea, my wife, and we have, I have Nova in my lap.
I have Jack.
Nova's like an 80-pound pitty mastiff mutt, and Jack is like a 50-pound, I don't know, shepherd mutt, cattle dog mutt.
Blue healer mixture.
So, you're going to hear them walking around, and we have thunderstorms going on, so that's going to be loud, too. So you're going to just have to deal with it and listen to it.
And I'm nervous that I'm going to hit my beer on the table because yes. You've told me 3 times now not to.
Yeah. So today's podcast, our drinks of choice. I have a Shiner Strawberry Blonde. It's a seasonal, summer seasonal.
That's what it says right here. It's a lady drink.
It's so cute.
It's delicious. I have a Modelo Especial. Because I didn't want to get too drunk while we were drinking this, or while we were recording. Mm. So I thought a beer would be a good intro cocktail.
Yeah, well, drink fast. Make for a lot more entertainment for our guests. So today we are going to kind of cover a little bit about us as a couple and like what it's like to be with someone that's...
He's talking to me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't know what to do. Jack.
It's... This is a product of our daily shit show life.
I'm just going to ignore him and hope he goes away.
Yeah, how's that working? So, anyways, we're going to talk about a little bit about you and your endurance life and then being a spouse of someone who does endurance sports and kind of and going to races and cheering. Kind of what that's like, maybe tips for people that are new to that to go in to cheer someone on. I don't know. We'll just see where this goes.
Okay.
And of course, the dogs decide to start wrestling as soon as we start doing this.
Go lay down.
So, all right, babe. So, quick history on you and how we met. We met, I guess it was like, what, 08-ish, something like that.
No, it was 2010.
No.
2009
is when we met. And we met through mutual friends and kind of made a friendship from there. And then actually I started training you.
Yeah, because I did not work out.
Mm-mm. It was sad.
Back then.
Yeah.
I had chicken legs. That's what you said.
Yeah, that was putting it nicely. So, yeah, you had chicken legs. We would meet at the park, what, 1 day a week, 2 days a week?
1 day a week. One and you told me that I had to be working out like 2 or 3 more days a week or it wasn't going to do any good, but I didn't.
Yeah, shocker. And I think one of my favorite stories whenever we were training is for those that live in Oklahoma and know the Lake Hefner Dam. So we had worked...
Oh, my God.
We had worked out together for... It has been a while. Like, I mean, a couple months or so at this point.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey... We're going to run the dam, and it's going to be good cardio. It's going to be good for strength, build that butt, because that's what you wanted. Everything was about making your abs pretty and making your butt pretty.
Uh-huh.
So we decided to run up that thing. Well, we get to the top of the dam, which, for people that don't know, it's not huge.
It's huge.
It's a typical dam in Oklahoma. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Well, it's not the, it's what's the dam called?
50 feet tall.
What's the famous one?
It's not Hoover Dam.
It's not the Hoover.
No. It may be like 50 feet high.
It's tall.
100 feet high. I don't know. Anyways, we get to the top of it and you have a complete meltdown.
Complete meltdown. Well, it's scary. It doesn't look as tall from the bottom.
Mm-hmm. So come to find out you're scared of heights.
Well, I already knew that.
Yeah, I did not. Mm-hmm. So that was...
I sat down on my butt and cried.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that was like, huh, this is interesting.
That should have been a warning sign for you.
There was a lot of warning signs along the way that I ignored. And then here we are.
Yeah.
And so we got married in 20...
And then we got married.
So let's fast forward. We got
4 years later or something.
Yeah. 2013, we got married. Right? We had this conversation the other day. We couldn't remember our anniversary date.
I know. I was thinking we were going to have to bring that up because, yeah, I feel like we must be married for 30 years because we already can't remember when we got married.
Feels like it.
I was at work and had to call you.
Yeah.
And ask you.
We know the date. Like
the day
we don't know the year.
Well, it's a little cloudy on the year.
yeah
but 2013
yeah, so 5 years coming up in like a week, 2 weeks. So congratulations to you.
What are you gonna get me?
Can't tell. Surprise.
Oh, okay. Good.
So First off, let's talk a little bit about your endurance adventures. Did you do a half marathon before you did the Spartan race, or was the Spartan race your first one?
The half marathon was my first one.
Okay.
I did the Memorial. That was like, we had just started dating.
Okay.
And I did the Memorial marathon, or half marathon, and you trained me, and I'd done some 5Ks before that.
Mm-hmm.
Here and there.
Is that when it, that's when it hailed.
That's when it rained, yep. And it hailed. But yeah, it didn't really hail. I don't think it hailed on us. I think it hailed on the marathoners.
Yeah, so we postponed the start because it was raining so hard. So we hid out in the parking garage.
Mm-hmm. That's when you found out I was claustrophobic in crowds.
Lucky guy I am.
I almost had a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a cluster down there. That
oh,
morning.
My God,
but,
it was so bad.
So we ran the Memorial half together, and we don't train together at all. And Jack's going to knock the cord off the computer, so... So we didn't train together because that's just not how we roll. You kind of went and did your thing when it came to the actual running. I made the running plan, the training plan.
Yeah, let's talk about the real reason why we don't train together.
Why?
Because you don't want to go slow.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
I'm really slow and you're really fast. That doesn't mesh well.
It doesn't mesh well. Mm-hmm. So you did your own training. Mm-hmm. And then for that day, we ran together and I was just there as Sherpa throughout the race. And you
knocked
it out.
And then every endurance event I did after that, I made you do it with me.
Uh-huh. Your goal was what, 2 hours?
Was it?
I think so. And you did like 150 something.
Okay, was that 159
yeah,
probably?
Yeah, I think it was. I think you crossed.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't know that we were on pace to beat it. And you like drilled me into the ground there at the bottom.
Well, we had to
make
that.
At the bottom? At the end.
At the end, yeah. We had to make that happen. So I kept the pace for us all day. And then our next race was... Dallas half marathon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one rained too.
And it was super cold.
Yeah, that one was easier though.
And it rained on us during the entire race.
Yeah.
Like the entire race.
That's when I PR'd.
You did.
140
something.
6, 148 maybe. Yeah.
So you can you can cruise along pretty good.
I got pretty good. Yeah. I did a 5K in 21:30.
Yeah.
22:30.
Let's go with 21. That sounds faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the peak of my life right there.
It was the peak of your athletic performance.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then it was all downhill.
And then we did a Spartan race.
Oh, God.
We met up.
Nova.
No!
Nova's she's digging in the rug.
I don't know why she started doing that, but she is like ruining my rug slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. So...
That was ballsy to do it right in front of
so
us.
So we did the Spartan race in Austin, and it was the sprint version, which is like up to 5 miles.
Okay, let's talk about...
Well, Whitaker got us in that.
This is when Spartan first really started becoming popular. It's really, really early.
Yeah.
And they say about 3 miles, which is just a big fat lie.
Yeah. And that was a legit trail race.
Listen.
Because it was like some legit climbing. It was at Revel Ranch... outside of Austin, in the hill country.
And this girl, I am not the athlete.
So for people that don't know what Spartan race is, it's an obstacle course race. And the thing that makes Spartan so awesome and so much more of an accomplishment when you get done is in the obstacle, if you don't fulfill the obstacle, if you don't achieve the obstacle, then you have to do, was it 20 burpees as a penalty before you can move on. And so the other ones, I mean, people cheat and they just move around and do whatever. But Spartan, you have to, like, put some effort out.
You got to work for it.
Yeah. And you did every obstacle.
Oh, my God. I did the monkey bars, and I thought I was going to die afterwards. I was so excited. That was, like, at the very beginning. And afterwards, you were like, I didn't think you were going to be able to do
that.
I didn't think
there was any possible way that was going to happen.
Yeah. I was riding high, and that didn't last very long.
But you did all the obstacles all the way around till the end.
I missed 3.
Yeah, but there was like the rope climb at the end.
The wall thing.
The wall thing was
I can't remember.
Big
what. Oh, the
thing.
Throwing the spear thing.
Oh, the spear. Yeah, what? People miss that all the time.
Dude, it was 1,000 degrees outside. It was 5 miles, which is 2 whole miles longer than 3. Yeah, I thought I was going to die.
Well, the one obstacle I didn't do was and I think you didn't do it either. Was the tunnel under the ground.
No.
Yeah, screw that. So it's a tunnel that's about, I don't know.
It's as wide as I am.
Yeah, it's about shoulder width, and it's about 50 yards long.
Oh, my God.
Uphill, and it's buried under the ground. Not a chance in hell.
Not even the slightest chance I'm putting, like, my head in.
I walked up, put my head into it, Went straight to burpees.
You were trying to be a hero.
I tried. I thought I was going to try, but nope. Mm-mm. No way. So, yeah. But then we get to the end. The very last obstacle.
The barbed wire?
The barbed wire.
Oh, gosh. Uphill.
It's like 100 yards.
You had to be on your hands and knees. Like, you had to on your belly, basically.
In mud.
And it's all zigzag.
Uphill. Yeah. That was a good way to end it. Sure. But I got hooked after that. I loved it.
You sure did.
Yeah, I loved it. I think I may need to go back
you
and do
went, like... obstacle course racing mad after
I went
that.
Balls deep after
yeah,
that.
You sure did.
Yeah.
I was one and done. Yeah. We got done and I was like, I'm never fucking doing anything like that again. Ever. Yeah. For the rest of my life.
And I haven't. No. There you go. So,
I'm a truth teller.
And we did a half marathon on trail with Jack.
I forgot. You have such a good memory. I forgot
half.
About that. That was such...
Which
okay,
Tanya
side story.
That's awesome.
Every single... I adopted Jack... my baby, aka baby boy.
Pooh Bear.
Whenever he was 6 months old, mm-hmm. and he will be 7 in August. So I've had him 6.5 years. And basically from the time that I got him, I started, about 6 months later, I started running him with me. That was the height of all my running. And he has trained every single half marathon with me. He trained my marathon with me up to like 16 miles. He's trained with you mm-hmm. some. He doesn't really like running with dad because dad is too fast.
Yeah,
he actually hung up his running shoes.
He did. He used to do a lot of runs with me. And then one day I went to get him a leash and he looked at me and went right back to the couch and he has to run with me since.
He'll like run from you now. But anyway, so it was so cool to be able to do that ho-ho half marathon on the trail because for one, Jack's obsessed with trails.
Mm-hmm.
And for two, he was like ready to go, man. He can run.
And we got him a little. We had a little bib number for him that he had mm-hmm. that he wore. He was the half number.
Yeah.
And the ho-ho half was on a trail here in Oklahoma City called Bluff Creek, and Tanya put it on just as a super fun thing. I think we may have brought food for donations or something like
canned
that.
Canned goods, maybe.
Canned goods or something, and it was totally mm-hmm. for fun. And everybody brought Hostess and Little Debbie's and all stuff. So you had
good.
Those. It was just a totally free, fun event, but we had a blast when we ran that together.
Yeah.
And then you decided to do a marathon.
Oh, yes.
So you trained for the marathon.
Well, I did another half marathon in there. I've done 5 halves.
I don't know.
Oh, I did the one in Austin, the 3M with Melissa,
yeah.
my boss.
With
okay,
Melissa.
But you didn't
yeah.
do that one.
Yeah, I did. I just
oh,
did it
you
by
did?
Myself. You two ran
oh,
together.
Oh, you went regular speed.
That's the one I tried to... That's where I PR'd in.
Oh, what did you run it in?
I think it was like 127.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever run that fast again. Hmm.
You're a good runner, though. That's your forte.
Yeah, but so you decided to do a marathon.
I did.
Trained for it. It was going to be the Dallas. It was going to be your first and only full that you were going to do.
Yeah.
Jack trained with you on all the runs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys
up
put
until
in some 60, serious
16 or 17 miles. I stopped.
Yeah.
With
so,
him.
And then we had a life distraction about 3 weeks before the race. 2 weeks before the race.
My stepdad passed away the end of November.
Totally unexpected.
Yes.
And so that kind of derailed plans and motivation and just reality of life. And so you decided to do by yourself on the day.
Uh-huh.
Instead of traveling to Dallas, you went to Lake Hefner, which is a lake in Oklahoma City that's about 9 miles around, 9.5 miles around.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided to do it.
Yep.
But we woke up that morning. You pounded like 47 pounds of pancakes.
Oh my God. It was like 2,000 calories.
Of pancakes.
Sure did.
And butter and syrup.
If anyone does endurance, they know that's the best part about training is you can eat as much as you want.
Yeah. Well, that's before we understood nutrition as much as
we do
now.
Well, that's true too.
But God, pancakes are so good.
Whew.
But anyways, so you ate all the pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the weather started looking really sketch.
Really sketch. Huge storms coming.
But the problem is that already lined up a bunch of surprises for you throughout the day.
And in my mind, obviously, I didn't know about that, but I was like, I just ate an entire day's worth of calories. I have to go at least do one lap. I have to run 10 miles because otherwise this is not good.
Yeah.
Pancakes and syrup and butter in my belly.
So you decided to go run this by yourself at the lake.
With Jack.
With Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So. I was like, I'll do my first lap with Jack by myself. And I was out there all alone that whole lap.
So you guys did 10 miles together.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started showing up.
Yeah, one by one. At first, I thought it was random because J.A. showed up.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, look at you just out here running. We found porn.
You and J.A. found the nastiest, dirtiest,
the nastiest magazine
porn
I've ever seen.
Magazine.
It was so gross.
It was so gross. And then you put it in my car.
Uh-huh.
And I found that thing under my passenger seat like months later.
So gross.
It was disgusting. Yeah.
Thanks, Jay. That's the best memory of that. Yeah, and then every time I would go a little bit further and people from work would show up or my family was there, or friends or whatever, like, yeah, it was really cool.
And then me
cool.
and Jack had to make an emergency room visit to the vet because at some point somehow in my car, he sliced his foot open and there was blood everywhere.
And like, everyone was lying to me.
Yeah, because I couldn't
I was like, where's Ryan? And they're like, oh, he just had to go run an errand real quick.
Yeah,
I did. Because you were so terrified that I was, like, going to stop.
Because Jack was a bloody mess. It was not good. But anyways, we got that healed up. You crossed the finish line.
I did.
You ran a full marathon by yourself. And the
right on target.
And within, what, 10 minutes after we got done?
Oh, my God. I got in my car, and it started pouring. It hailed. It was absolute madness, like, the second it was
like
over.
Like, nasty Oklahoma storm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. But you did it. So that's the one-and-done marathon.
Yeah, and I thought, I'm just going to keep up running after this. I'll just, I'm my endurance is so high now, like, 10 miles, that lap around the lake was like a warm-up, you know? And so you're like, man, this is awesome. Like, when you run long, you don't have to worry about being fast. It's like, I'll just keep it up. And, like, within 5 months, I wasn't running anymore.
But you start doing other stuff. I mean, you've done yoga in the past. You've done bar in the past. You kind of float around, do whatever interests you.
Yeah, I get bored.
Yeah, but that's exactly how I am.
But I got into all of that because of you, but, really.
But it's been a good, it's been awesome to see you do your own thing. And it's not just us tied together and you do what I do and I do what you do kind of thing. Like, you have your own goals and stuff and keeps you interested and keeps you excited. So.
Well, I don't think I have a choice because I don't know if anyone knows this about, I mean, I'm super independent in the relationship. You're more codependent.
Yeah. Something like that. Very close to the truth.
Exact opposite, actually.
Yeah, 100% opposite.
Yeah.
So, but the one thing that I really wanted to talk about today was every one of my big races, you have always come to and supported and been there. Like, every time I've done an Ironman or whenever I was trying to qualify for Worlds at the 70.3 distance. And then whenever 1 year we qualified and went to Canada for the World Championships, Sprint World Championships, which was the ITU, that was fun and cool.
Well, who wouldn't want to go with you to that?
Yeah, that was fun.
In the honeymoon stage, I probably went to a lot more races.
The local stuff, yeah. You would, like, randomly come out before work and stuff. And now I'm like, I got a race. You're like, where is that race?
I don't even know. Like, I feel like I'm a bad wife sometimes because I don't even know what you're doing anymore. Like, it'll be on the calendar usually.
Yeah, always right on the
People
calendar.
Are like, what is he doing that race this weekend? And I'm like, he has a race this weekend. I'm not sure where it's at. Is it Arkansas?
And now you don't even know what kind of race it is most of the time.
No.
Yeah, I think your give a shitters like got a little empty.
But I do give a shit. I really do. I really, really do. And I want to support you. It's just that you always race on work days. And it's just gotten to the point where 7.5 years later, I just don't take off work for you anymore.
So about that honeymoon phase, it's gone. But so let's talk about what are some tips and thoughts of for someone who's going to be a spectator at a triathlon because it's boring.
Well, alcohol.
And sucks. Like, so when I go to the Red Man, I watch. So the last few years I've gone out there, we've set up a tent, we're on the run course, but we have lots of friends racing. It's super cool, super fun. But
yeah.
In between friends, it's real boring.
Yeah. Well, you know, the local one is a little easier because we've been together for so long. I know a lot of your buddies that are doing it, and now you're kind of out of that realm, so you're usually with me. And but even then, it's like if you know some people and you're we're under the tent and everyone is coming and going, and so that's more fun locally at Red Man because you know it's like a whole group thing. But well, like when we went to Canada
or Arkansas when we, for the nationals there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just going to step by yourself. So what, I mean, what are your spectating tips for someone that's going to support a friend or going to support a spouse that they've never gone to a race? Like, what is something that you would say, like, you need to be at these points of the race or get your cameras ready for this? Or how do you support them while they're out doing their thing?
Well, I think everybody's different, you know, like, and it depends on the kind of race. If it's a triathlon, it's a little bit more spectator friendly because you're on the road. Now, the bike, I never have been spectator friendly on that. I think other people are. They'll drive around and you know, it's I'm not, work. Yeah, I'm just not that girl. But I always watch you start your swim. I always watch you come out of the water. And then,
usually run around transition.
And yeah, watch I'll watch her transition. And then I just hang out. If it's local, I can leave and come back if you're on the road. But, I mean, I think we usually just communicate beforehand, you know? Stop. Oh my God.
You guys are going to get the full Ellis family effect.
Okay, hold on.
People walking down the street said the dogs are getting real feisty, so we got to shut the door. So this is a day in the life. Beer drinking, dogs barking, getting excited, you know. This is the usual around here.
The usual. Okay, so anyway, I think if you just communicate with your partner, whoever's doing the racing, because usually you're the one that kind of leads me in the direction. Like, okay, this is what the race course is like. This is where I would be if I were you.
And I think a big part of that is telling whoever's going to be your spectator what times you're expecting to be at certain spots.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge because, like, in Arkansas, when you did that mountain bike race.
Mountain bike triathlon. Or as an off-road triathlon.
Yes. That was not very spectator friendly. Right. I mean, I got to see you go in and out of the water, but then after that, when you're on your bike.
Never saw anything.
Or if you were on the run, I couldn't follow you at all.
Right.
And so knowing your times and your pace that you were planning on was absolutely detrimental to me catching photos of you and being able to see you or worry. You know, because that's the other thing for me, at least, and I'm sure for a lot of people, when your spouse or your partner goes out on a bicycle, no matter if it's in the trees or on the road, especially on the road, there's just never a time that you're not worried until they're done.
Right.
And so, you know, to be able to know when to expect to see you is really imperative. And that way, you know, like, because that it was raining that day in Arkansas, for example.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to sit out in the rain. So I literally, like, left. I went back to the hotel for a second. I came back. I sat in the car pretty much and read a book. I mean, it's boring. It sucks. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It sucks a little bit.
Well, it's not the, like, yeah, it's not entertaining.
No, you're just there for support and to be proud of your person.
Yeah.
But, like, a triathlon is a little easier. Like, when we went to Canada, I was by myself. Loops. Do what?
Because we have loops.
Yes. And so, and the course map was way easier for me to walk around. I mean, I had to run from here to there sometimes, but it was more compact and it's all outside that you can see. So it was a lot easier for me to run around. And time goes by really fast whenever you're doing it.
Well,
that was
a sprint triathlon too, which was
that's true.
An hour long, which was, but yeah, that was a lot better. I think knowing the times that people are going to be in certain spots. Plus, it helps the athlete if we communicate beforehand that I know that you're going to be at this spot. I can look for you, which gives me like some motivation and excitement whenever I see you.
Yeah, that's
helps.
How everyone feels when they look at me.
That's not how I saw that was going to go, but okay. But that helps the person doing the sport too, to know that they're going to see a friendly face or they're going to have some encouragement or it gives you a bump in energy before and after. And
especially
stuff like
when
that.
I show you my tits.
That is not.
Everyone happened. Else at the race likes that too.
Wait, you don't show me.
Just kidding.
And then, so talking about that, let's talk about training with an endurance athlete. So it requires a lot of hours. And it's a lot different whenever, because I've done everything from short stuff, short sprint triathlons, like a full season or two of that. And then I've done seasons of Ironman and I've done seasons of just mountain biking, or I kind of like to mix it up and keep it fresh.
Well, 2010, you did a full, right?
Sure.
No, 2011, I mean.
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
So that's when we started dating. Mm-hmm. It's 2011.
Yep.
That was my first experience with someone that does endurance sports was with you in general. And then the very first year of dating, you're training for a full distance, like at Redman.
And a full distance triathlon, for people that don't know, is a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike, and a marathon all in one day.
Yeah.
So it requires, it's just think of the race that you see on TV in December every year of people crawling to the finish line. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, so I was kind of thrown into that at the highest level in the very first year of dating you. So, you know, I wasn't prepared for what that really meant. And like I said before, even though I'm super independent...
No, you can't even say it with a straight face when, when there's nobody around.
Yeah, I am. And you are extremely independent. Yes. I mean, like, in general. Yeah. I mean... Like, you thought it was weird to hold hands in public when we first started dating.
Yeah, that's why I like endurance sports, because I get to be alone for lots of hours.
Yeah, so you went from years and years and years of 100% doing your own thing to being with me that required a little bit more attention. I required a regular amount of attention for someone who is your girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's
okay.
True.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, you just didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But, so, yeah, it was hard. I mean, at the beginning, it wasn't that hard because you were training that hard at the beginning.
Right.
And then, as you get deeper and deeper into your training and the race gets closer and closer, it's more and more and more. Now, we weren't living together at the time, obviously, because we were just started dating. But you lived in Norman, and I lived in Oklahoma City. And so, that already... Even though you worked in the city, that already put a strain. And then your training on top of that. Two sessions a day for hours on end, especially closer to the time. So, yeah, it was a struggle. We had to have some... Well, that was the honeymoon phase of we started dating. So I couldn't really express how I was feeling that much at the beginning because I was scared. But, you know, we did have to... There was moments in our relationship where
we had to... And so what we did is we figured out a schedule that worked best for both of us. So I started riding my... At the time, I worked at a bike shop in Oklahoma City, which was about 20 or so miles away from where I lived. So I would ride to and from work, which would give me a little bit of miles on my bike, which kind of helped supplement some training stuff. My last long run, I actually ran from my house in Norman to your apartment in Oklahoma City, which was like 20 something miles. And I'm like, well, that, I mean, so I got up like at 4 o'clock in the morning and took off running to get to your house to clean up before I went to work. So there were certain things that I had to do to keep you happy, to keep our relationship on track.
To keep me happy.
And to work my training into our lives. So, yeah. And I think that's the biggest issue that I see with clients and with other friends is that they let their training and all that stuff be their life.
Well, it's all consuming.
Instead of working into their life. And I get that endurance sports is a very type A personality that usually is attracted to this, or an addict personality that's usually attracted to this. So it's like all in, 1,000%. But I tell everyone that I work with or friends or whatever, like their life has to work around their training.
Like, I think you still struggle with that. Like,
I mean, I'm sorry, their training has to work around their life.
Yeah.
Because you have to fit that in.
Well, and it's important on my end, like, I'm not a beat around the bush kind of person. So no. A lot of people are, though, you know, but I feel like I've always been really, really honest with what I require from you. I mean,
I agree. I agree with that.
Good, bad, and ugly, right?
Yep.
So I, at first, was a little bit not so much like that. But as the years have gone on, like, we've had to have some come to Jesus moments. For sure. Where I'm like, what the fuck?
And so now,
it doesn't go training first, then your job, then your relationship, or training first, then your relationship, then your job, or whatever. Like, training is last.
Which
isn't really what it's like in your brain, but you have to force it to seem that way.
And that's not normal for endurance people. And that's not natural. And it's not what I want to do all the time. It's not what I've wanted to do in the past. But if you want to have a happy life, happy wife situation, you've got to. So now, well, it's a lot easier now that I'm not doing training for an Ironman or a full distance.
Oh, yeah. That's like a whole nother level.
But I still put in, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 hours of training a week. But now it's, I do it at lunch. Almost every single day I go do something at lunch. And then you usually get off work later than me.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is you're in a very convenient position with the job that your wife has.
Yes and no.
Because I work...
So, you're a hairstylist.
I do hair and makeup. Yeah. And so, I work 4 days a week. So I work long hours, usually from 9 to 8.
Wednesday through Saturday.
So when you need to do something after work, you don't have to come home, look at me in the face and be like, okay, now I'm going, I know we're just getting home from work, but now I'm going to go back out and not spend this time with you. Like, you get that time alone anyway. Same with Saturdays. You get to do your long distance stuff on Saturday while I'm at work all day. So, and then Sunday, you know that that's it's us time.
Right. So there's things that happen on Sundays that I don't participate in because I know that's our day. Like, it's our only day off together. And then I know on Mondays and Tuesdays that I'm not going to go do like some of the group activities that happen around Oklahoma City. And we used to have track and stuff like that. That would be late. So they don't even start till 6 or 7, which is about the time you get home. So it's much better for me to do something like at 4:30. So I'm home when you get home.
Yeah.
And it's much better. It's much better for our relationship. It is a lot simpler. It's a lot cleaner for us.
Well, it's a lot easier for me to bitch at you about stuff if we're face to face, so I don't have to text you.
Right. There's that. So I try to work my training schedule around for me being home when you're home. And I think that's something that it's a lot easier when you're doing shorter distance stuff. But
way easier.
I tell everyone who says, hey, I want to do my first Ironman or I want to do this, whatever. Is your spouse on board?
Well, and that's the other thing I want to say.
And we don't have kids. That helps.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a huge advantage for you.
But
for
the spouse has to be on board if you're going to start training 15-ish. If you're going to train more than 12 hours a week, the spouse and family have to be on board.
And, like, honestly be on board. Supportive.
Yes. Yeah.
And not just being like, well, whatever you want to do, you know. And that's what I was going to say on the other end of that is, I feel like this conversation is all about like what you have to do to make me happy so that you can do what you want to do. I don't want it to come across that way because I think it's important that I support you for that.
Right.
You know, so there are times where I'm a little bit more needy than other times with your attention. And sometimes I have to like sort of suppress that because I don't want you to feel guilty because I want to support you with stuff. And I realize that I'm more codependent than you are. And you realize that you're more independent than I am. So we have to try to like meet in the middle a little bit. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
But the athlete has to be focused on what they want to do, but they have to
communicate with your partner.
Yeah. And sacrifice some of the things that maybe you want to do. Because it's selfish. It's a very selfish sport.
Yes.
Any endurance adventure is a selfish sport.
Yeah.
And you have to be conscious. Oh, we'll go with that. You have to be aware of that you are doing a selfish thing. And so your friends and it depends on what your goals are. So my goals are not like to make money out of this or to go to any like Tacona or anything like that. My goals at this point in life are to have fun.
Years ago when we were dating, started dating, you were very much more driven in a different direction than you are now. Because you're just old now.
That's true. Those hormones check. But the thing is that it's the athlete really needs to pay attention to what's really going on with their spouse. And be aware of that and work their training schedule around what their spouse needs and what their spouse wants and their family. And I think that can be a very happy situation and it just takes a little bit of effort and work.
I can't tell you how hard it is to drink beer and do this because you know what happens. I have one sip of beer and I burp.
Like a trucker.
Oh my God, it's so bad. And I am trying to suppress them. I really am, but
just let it go,
it's like
babe.
Fire coming out of my mouth.
Just let it go. So I think that
anyways.
So I think that both sides have to be willing to work together on that.
Yeah. 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 Well, because here's the thing. Unless you're a so I just got reprimanded with his eyes because I was tapping. Unless you're a pro
endurance
athlete.
Unless it's your paycheck.
Unless it's your living, it's a hobby.
Exactly.
And no endurance athlete wants to hear that. I can see all of you guys out there listening to this podcast right now and being like, that bitch doesn't know what she's talking about. Okay, I get it. But it really is not your income. It's not your family. It's a hobby. It's something you do for fun that you happen to spend a lot of fucking money on. And that's the other thing. You know, you gotta, you already have a spouse that's okay with you spending the money on this hobby.
Right.
So that, you know, props to that person for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to think about what's important in life. And I think that over the years, you and I have evolved in our personal life a lot.
Right.
With the whole minimalism, or, you know, we're not really minimalists, but we try to experience.
We're simple.
Yeah. We try to be more simple nowadays and experience each other and our life around us a little bit more, but it's easy to get sucked into that. So you just, that's my biggest thing is
so
remembering that.
What can the athlete do for their family or their spouse? What is their takeaway from this? Like, what can they do to be a better partner?
Are you trying to wrap this up with me?
I am. We're 35 minutes in. We have a party to go to. It's 2:30.
People want
to
hear me.
Do they?
They like to hear my voice.
Yeah.
I can
well, maybe
feel
we
it.
Can do another one.
Anyways.
Maybe you can be a regular.
Oh. Honestly, I think the biggest thing that we've always done is sit down at the beginning of your race season and say, these are the races I'm planning on doing, and this is what my race schedule is going to look like. And sitting down with your partner at the beginning of that and sort of mapping that out.
Right.
So that as things really get underway and your training really gets underway and you get closer and things get a little crazier, they already had that in their mind that they can plan, especially if you have kids.
They
I mean,
know
I can't
expect.
Imagine how much harder it would be if we had a kid or kids, plural.
Right.
So I think just planning all that out and sitting down and making sure that they're on board first and foremost would be the biggest thing. And then, you know, hiring a coach that will help, that you can tell. Plug.
Nice plug, baby.
Uh-huh. But honestly, though, if you have a coach making your training plan, that you can say, this is my work schedule, this is my family schedule, these are the things that I have to be present for. You know, you're going to know if your kid has a recital or a baseball game or whatever the case may be on a monthly basis. Someone that you can hand all that to and say, figure out my training schedule based on this. That person can help you with it. ConquerTraining.com.
God.
Wow. You're
welcome. Way to go. Got to pay those bills somehow.
Let's do shots.
Whoa. It's 2:30 on a Sunday.
It's Pride weekend.
It is Pride weekend here in Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. which is where we have to go now to visit some friends. And
our waiter this morning had glitter on his face, and it got me in the mood.
And the Pride flag cake that you ordered.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, we ordered it at 8 o'clock, this 8:15-ish this morning.
Uh-huh.
To have this afternoon. To have this afternoon after we had drinks, and we would have been so excited, like, oh, we're gonna want that cake.
Well, I said after the gym.
What time did you eat that cake?
Like 10:30.
What time did you go to the gym?
Like 12.
Yeah, I wish I had some of that cake.
Oh, it's so good.
It was so good. But anyways, babe, thanks for doing this. Hopefully some people got some takeaways of how to work better with their spouse and their family.
I hope so.
And
if you guys want to know any more dirty secrets about Ryan and our personal relationship, let us know and we'll do another podcast and I'll spill all the truths.
Yeah. Hit me up at ryan@conquertraining.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow Miss Andrea at, what's your Instagram handle?
Blend_OKC.
Whoop. See her fancy hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Peace.